All right. So the year was 1997. I was 6 years old, and I was in Pennsylvania with my older sister and my older girl cousins, and we had just finished dinner, done the dishes, and piled into the living room for what had become one of our favorite girl time traditions. My Aunt Kathy would walk over to the CD player and put on the Alanis Morissette Jagged Little Pill album. And as soon as Alanis would start singing, "I'm broke, but I'm happy," we would immediately strip down to our socks and underwear and proceed to have what we called the underwear party. And this was simply just a room full of children frolicking around for the duration of the album, except for you all to know, because it has the F word in it, so we had to skip that song. And we would climb on top of the coffee table and jump off at important moments in the songs, and we were doing somersaults on the carpet and making like really cool entrances and exits from the hallway door, and looking back, it's probably like the most feminist I ever was. Like, I didn't know what the lyrics meant, but it became our tradition, and it was a really special time because as one of the younger girls in the family, it was like one of the only times I got to hang out with like my older girl cousins, my sister. So flash forward the next summer, back in Pennsylvania with my cousins, we finish dinner, we're doing the dishes, we go into the living room, and Lindsay and I put in Jagged Little Pill, and you know, strip down for our socks and underwear, and we look over to the doorway, and my sister and my older cousins are standing there just staring at us. And we look over, and Alanis is starting to sing, and we're like, aren't you gonna come join in? And they looked over at us, and they said, well, we're sorry, we can't do underwear parties anymore. And I almost equate that feeling to when Adam and Eve suddenly realized they were naked. And Lindsay and I just stood there like, oh my God, we're monsters. From that point forward began my quest to go as unseen as possible throughout my youth. And it wasn't necessarily much of a pride thing. It's not like I didn't have much pride in who I was. My mom very famously created a song at the dinner table that I used to gladly sing with her that went, "And I'm proud to be a McMenamin, 'cause at least I know I'm me." And so it wasn't necessarily a lack of pride I had. It was just this sudden knowledge that I was not young women, we were not meant to be seen anymore in that light. And so for the next many years, I shared a room with my sister, and each morning we'd both get up when our alarm went off, and I would sneak over to my dresser drawer, pull out all the clothes for the day, and I'd wad them into a ball by my side. And Mary would look over me, and she said, "Sheila, are you going to go change in the bathroom?" And I was like, No. I'm just holding my clothes for the day. I'm just holding them." And she's like, you can just change in this room." I was like, no. I'm going to go brush my teeth." I'd go to the bathroom, change into my outfit for the day, and emerge ready to go. And I, you know, when you do something for so long, it'd be weird if you didn't. I did that until she left for college. So I think until I was like 16. And I also had many other mechanisms in order to change privately. I would, if you ever were in gym class or getting ready for cross country or track practice, there was like a whole technique of putting your very large gym uniform over your pre-existing outfit. And then for the next 10 minutes, proceeding to try and take everything off from underneath it, pull the shirt through your neck hole, through your armpit hole. And you ended up about like 10 minutes late for gym class, but no one saw you, so it was always a win. One of my lowest points was I used to go to band camp, and I lived in a dorm room with another person. And I would get changed under the covers before class each day. And so despite this insane inclination to go unseen and not want to get noticed, I still managed to make some friends in high school. And my group of friends around like 10th and 11th grade, we called ourselves the Six. There were six of us. We did that because when you're not very popular, you choose to be exclusive. So it feels that way. And this group of girls was, I would say, they became my best friends in high school. And there was one summer night where we'd all been invited to go to Emma's farmhouse in Easton. So this big countryside. And we're out there. We eat dinner. We help do the dishes. And we gather again in the living room. And I remember my friend Bridget, who was, like, she was really cool. She actually went to, like, girls camp, like the Parent Trap kind of girls camp, not for the euphonium. And Bridget looks around the room and she says, "Do you guys want to go streaking?" And much to my horror, everyone around the room starts nodding, "Yeah." And before my eyes, I see all of my friends take off sprinting outside, taking off their clothes and yelling and screaming and laughing and singing. And I stood there in the doorway, and I felt like how my sisters and my cousins must have felt so many years back, thinking, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't go out there. But there they all are. And as I'm sitting there watching my friends have fun, I thought I heard Alanis in my ear singing, "I'm brave, but I'm chicken shit." And I said, "You know what? I'm doing it. I'm doing it." And my feet started sprinting out before me. I took off my clothes, joined the crew, and together we frolicked through a soybean field in Easton, Maryland, laughing and singing and having so much fun. And I remember feeling as if I was brimming again with that McMenamin pride. But I'm not necessarily sure that it was pride in myself, pride for going streaking, for doing it, for overcoming that. I think it was more pride in my friends. For being this group of young women who felt so free to be joyful in their own skin. And that's a beautiful thing. Thank you.